God, thank you for this day. We praise you for your word, that you have used your word as you have spoken to give us life, those of us who believe you and have experienced the life-transforming power of the gospel message. And you've also seen fit to unite us together, to bring us together for the same purpose, to see you glorified and to cause growth in one another and to graciously grow ourselves. And we know that only your word can accomplish these things. Even as we come tonight with lots on our minds from certain inconveniences of where we live to upcoming funerals and the death of loved ones and friends, family. And so we pray, God, that you would care for us as our good shepherd. And even as we turn our attention to your word now, that it would be an encouragement and we would experience the care that you extend to your people through your own speech. You know perfectly what we need better than we know our own needs ourselves. And so help us to incline our hearts now to be eager, willing, humble, and receptive to take in your truth, however you have it for us. And we pray all these things in Christ's name. Amen. All right. We are back in Ephesians chapter 6, and we're coming up on the second command in the section to children. And this second command has to do with honor. Honor. So the children are being told in this next section to honor parents, father, mother. And this is just a repeated command by the time Paul gets to it in the New Testament. But this aspect of the home, children's honor for parents, comes on the heel of a great emphasis in Scripture on that very thing, on children showing due honor to parents. Let me just remind you, you don't have to, but you can turn to Deuteronomy 21 to just see the significance tied to this very command that children ought to honor father and mother. And here you see the emphasis of this obedience, this honor, because of what's actually at stake. If a child refused to do this and chose to rebel against his parents, what was the penalty in Israel for children who did this? Look at Deuteronomy chapter 21, verse 18 to start. If any man has a stubborn and rebellious son who will not obey his father or his mother, and when they discipline him, he will not even listen to them, then his father and mother shall seize him and bring him out to the elders of his city at the gateway of his hometown. Then they shall say to the elders of the city, "This son of ours is stubborn and rebellious. He will not listen to our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard." Then all the men of his city shall stone him, and he will die. So you shall purge the evil from your midst, and all Israel will hear of it and fear. Somehow this person in view, who is rebellious and stubborn, is young enough to still be under his parents' authority, in his parents' possession, but he is off the rails. And so he refuses, despite discipline, despite the consequences that have come from his parents, they have no more recourse within the home. They've done all they can. They're at their wits' end. And so this man is handed over to the other level of authority in society, the elders of this particular city in Israel. And he is old enough to be given over to another authority and to be called stubborn, rebellious, a glutton, and a drunkard. This is a severely wayward child who refuses to heed his parents' counsel. And so the penalty is death for this stubborn child. The honor he owes to his parents is not given. He doesn't obey them. And so this is the penalty. Even if you fast forward in Deuteronomy 27, verses 15 to 17, we see in this list of curses that the nation is supposed to repeat to each other, half giving the blessings, half giving the curses. Listen at these curses, verse 15, Deuteronomy 27. Cursed is the man who makes a graven image or a molten image, an abomination to Yahweh, the work of the hands of the craftsman, and sets it up in secret. And all the people shall answer and say, Amen. In other words, the idolater is worthy of a curse. But then look what's coming just on the heels of the evil of idolatry, the curse that idolatry warrants. Verse 16, cursed is he who dishonors his father or mother. And all the people shall say, Amen. This is how serious it was to dishonor parents. That the person who did so, the child who did so, was worthy of a curse. And just one more, Proverbs 30, verses 11 through 14. Proverbs 30, starting at verse 11. Notice how the evil of mistreating parents is lumped in with other sins. There is a generation that curses its father and does not bless its mother. Notice that not blessing is the same as cursing in this context. To not show honor due is to dishonor. There is a generation that is clean in its own eyes, yet is not washed from its filthiness. There is a generation, oh, how haughty are its eyes, and its eyelids are lifted up. There is a generation whose teeth are like swords, and its fangs like knives, to devour the afflicted from the earth and the needy from among men. And then jump down to verse 17. The eye that mocks a father and despises obedience to a mother, the ravens of the valley will pick it out, and the young eagles will eat it. It's pretty graphic. So how important is it to God that children honor and obey parents? Very important. Very important. That's right. That's the picture. Go to Ephesians 6 now, and we'll look back at our passage. Moving on to the subordinate group again, Paul addresses children directly. Ephesians 6, verse 1. Here are Paul's instructions. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may be well with you and that you may live long in the land. Here Paul has two commands for children. Command one is to obey. Command two is to honor. And just like in the first command, your parents, plural, both parents were in view. So honor, with this second command to honor parents, both parents are in view. Your father and mother. And so here, in some translations in your English Bible, the second verse begins with capitalized letters. That's helpful, just to show that it's a quotation or a strong allusion to the Old Testament, some passage in the Old Testament. And the reason it's capitalized is because Paul is pulling from Exodus 20, verse 12, or Deuteronomy 5, 16, or both. Let me just read those for us. The first appears in the Ten Commandments. As you know, children were called to honor their parents in the Ten Commandments. Exodus chapter 20, verse 12, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be prolonged in the land which Yahweh your God gives you. And then Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 16 is similar but a little bit different. Honor your father and your mother as Yahweh your God has commanded you, that your days may be prolonged and that it may go well with you on the land which Yahweh your God gives you. And so in both of these, there are elements from Ephesians 6:2 more closely aligned with Exodus 20 in certain spots when it comes down to the exact wording that's included, which is why most theologians would say he's quoting from Exodus 20. But then there are elements like the so that it may go well with you portion that's not found in Exodus 20, but instead found in Deuteronomy. I think what's most likely happening is that Paul, so full of his Old Testament and this particular injunction for children, just gives the command in Ephesians to children, and it's a blending of these two passages, so that God meant both of them in the original context that came through Moses, both Exodus 20, the Ten Commandments, and in the repetition of the law in Deuteronomy. And so Paul knows honor's required from the Old Testament. This has always been right, and it's still right for children to honor both father and mother. That comes with a promise. And he says, so that it may go well with you and you'll live long in the land. So he just gives the sense of both of the passages. And it comes out the way we get it in Ephesians 6:2. And so the primary command that we'll focus on tonight is verse 2, honor. Honor your father and mother. One way to summarize what Paul is instructing here, all that he's saying in verses 2 and 3, is this: God rewards children who honor their parents. God rewards children who honor their parents. So we'll look at first the requirement of honor, and then next time the reward for honor. We get a requirement and a reward. The requirement of honor first, And then number two, the reward for honor. And this is how the passage breaks down. You get the command, and then you get the so that, the purpose, the why. So since God requires, or excuse me, rewards, since God rewards children who honor their parents, let's first look at the requirement for honor. And I just have three categories for us to think in. And I intend this to just be really practical help for children, especially for you to think about what it means to honor your father and mother, and to think about how you can practically do that. This is a lesson for kids. And as we look at these three categories, as we've already mentioned, this is inherently instructive for parents being the stewards of our children. Because if we know what God has called them to, then that's instructive for us as those who have to teach and train them to meet this requirement. You know, so this isn't really, though directed at children, instructive for everybody. The parent, even though you're the one called to be shown honor, you have to show your children how to show you honor. We have to teach and train them on what's required. Is that self-serving? I guess it could be. It certainly helps us to teach these things, to train in this way. But just keep in mind that we don't have any more authority to teach our children any way we would like than they have to respond to us any way they would like. Everyone in the home is under God's authority. We're not the ultimate authority. Our children certainly aren't the ultimate authority. God is. And so even as he calls you children to practice this, this implies that the parent too is called to instruct the children in these things. So here are the three categories I have in mind for the requirement of honor. Really simple. In thought, in word, and in deed. In thought, in word, and in deed. These are the subcategories for the requirement of honor. As we go after the requirement of honor, big picture, we'll hit these three areas tonight and talk about how this ought to manifest itself. This term honor, really helpful to see in the New Testament as well as the Old, and gives us a good picture of what the biblical writers had in mind when they required this of children toward parents. Here's what the term means. Timao, the word from which we get the name Timothy, means honor. Okay? It has to do with showing high regard for, to revere, or honor. That's just what the word means. To show a high regard for someone or something, to revere that person, or in other words, to honor them. The passages that Paul is quoting from in Exodus 20 and in Deuteronomy 5 the word there, and this is in the Hebrew text now in the Old Testament, kaved, is the same root word. It actually just looks even the same in the original. It looks like the word glory, kavod. Kaved, kavod, you can hear it. It sounds the same. And that word means glory, or to weigh heavily upon, to be weighty, or in this context, as it's commanded, to show honor. So it's the same, it's a part of the same word group. The word that means glory or has to do with displaying glory or treating glory as if it's glorious is the idea. Treating as if it's weighty. And so what does it mean to treat someone as if they have weight, as if they hold weight? It means you honor them. Important people, important personalities. People treat those who are wealthy this way oftentimes. They honor them. They don't treat them of little esteem or low regard, but instead of high regard, of high esteem. And so this is what that word is. So the point that Paul is after when he says, children, honor your father and mother, is that children must regard their parents with gravity as those worthy of high regard. Children must honor their parents or regard their parents. Children must regard their parents with gravity as those who are worthy of high regard. In other words, honor. If you think, as children, and all of your parents could attest to this same truth because we were all children under our parents' authority at some point, you are at a automatic deficit when it comes to doing this. There are people that you hold naturally in higher regard than your parents, than your father, than your mother. Friends, maybe an older sibling, other people outside the home, maybe a fun aunt, uncle, cousin, and I would much rather be with them, listen to them, have their company. I would much rather them like me, and I care more about their favor than my parents' favor, right? Paul is combating that tendency in you children. Okay? He's trying to help you understand it should not be that way. But your parents, your father, your mother are the ones that you should treat with gravity. Treat with weight. And so the place I want to start with just thinking through this for us is first, just consider that in your own thoughts, you are required by God to honor your parents. In your heart, where your parents can't see, you know, when you lay down your head on your pillow at night, or when your parents are talking to you and giving you correction, those things that you're thinking in the secrecy of your own mind, God knows your thoughts. And he knows whether you're obeying this command. Children, honor your father and mother. And so before God, maybe your parents will never know, but before God, you have to obey this. Do you understand? That means the way that you think about your parents, it can't just be, well, I'll talk to you honorably or I'll treat you honorably, but I'm going to think pretty bad of you. Well, that's not obedience to the Lord when it comes to this command. In your heart, you have to hold them in high regard and that's dealing with your mental life, your thoughts. Consider this quote from John Angle James. He says, "If there be no reverence in the heart, it cannot be expected in the conduct. In all virtue, whether it be that higher kind which has respect to God or that secondary kind which relates to our fellow creatures, like your parents," he says, "we must have a right state of heart, for without this, virtue does not exist." If you want to be a virtuous child, if you want to be an upright, upstanding child, pleasing to the Lord, possessing virtue is what that has to do with, then you have to have your heart right before the Lord. Which means when it comes to obeying this command to honor your parents, you have to do that in your heart. Esteem them in your heart. And so the inner man is where adherence to this command really begins. Just a word to parents, and this is just humbling to think, when we see what our kids are called to, that should be a humbling thing for us to encounter the instruction to our kids, you know, that they're supposed to hold us in high regard. Regardless of how we behave, there's still honor that's worthy. Just by virtue of being a parent, we're about to get to that. But for us, that does put the onus on us to then be worthy of honor, right? God requires our children to show us honor. Let's not make it hard for them. Be respectable. Be dignified. Be worthy of being held in high regard. So that the way you speak to your children, the way we treat them, the care that we demonstrate for them, our correction of them, right? It warrants, it merits their respect. You know, they don't need any help from us to dishonor or disobey. And so we can do our best to make it as easy as possible to help them combat against their sin natures by being worthy of being held in high regard. So here are some ways that I think children that come to mind, children can honor their parents in their thought life. First, esteem your parents' position over you because they gave you life. Just think about that. Your parents gave you life. Everybody came from some parent. And so you should think highly of them, be thankful, hold them in high regard just for... Even if this was the only thing they ever did for you, they would be worthy of some degree of honor from you. There are other children, as we know, who were not given life by their parents. They were aborted. They were unwanted. So you can at least praise God, thank God for your parents. Since they gave you life, all you children hearing me. Secondly, you can esteem their person, esteem your parents because of their stewardship over you. Your parents have an immense stewardship over you. You have not been tasked like your parents have to sustain you, to care for you, to provide for you, nor have you been charged by God. You don't have the burden of the responsibility or the stewardship to shepherd your soul like your parents do. They have that responsibility. They're the ones who think about your well-being, who are troubled by what concerns you, by your sins. They think about how things are going, how you're going to turn out. And they're rightly concerned about those things. And so recognize the stewardship that they've been given by God and let that be a cause to esteem them just in your own thoughts. You guys understand that? You don't know what it's like to be a parent? Lord willing, one day you will. It's great. So much fun. But it's a serious responsibility. You know, we've been given souls that we talked about earlier in this study. We've been entrusted with souls to shepherd, to care for, to train, to teach. And so be thankful and honor your parents because of their stewardship. A third way you can do this in your thoughts is to esteem their opinions as those with more experience. Esteem your parents' opinions. They have more life experience than you. It might seem like you know a lot. You don't. You're young. You're inexperienced. And one day you'll realize how little you know. Remember Proverbs? The one group of people at the beginning that Solomon said he was writing to, the only group that had an age attached to it, to youth, right? Because you need wisdom. Of everybody, you've experienced so little of life, haven't read enough, haven't experienced enough, thankfully haven't made so many costly mistakes. But that means you should esteem your parents' opinion. They've actually walked that path. So when they have an opinion, don't shrug it off. You know, when they tell you to obey in little ways, pick up after yourself, for example. Do the little things. Okay, they're telling me to do that. It must be important. Doesn't feel important to me right now, but you should be thinking, what do I know? I'm a kid. God's given me parents to teach me. Fourthly, esteem their instructions as worthy of obedience. Esteem their instructions as worthy of obedience. Don't trust yourself and what you would like to do, the things that seem right to you. Anybody remember what Proverbs says about the way of a man that seems right in his own eyes, where it leads? Where? No. The way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the end is the destruction. Way of death. Destruction. Okay. Well, death is the word I was looking for, but the end is the way of death. I mean, believe God when he says that. You might think, oh, this would be more fun. This would be better. I'd rather such and such. But don't trust your own inclinations. Esteem your parents' instruction as worthy of obedience. They see things far down the road that you have no idea is coming. They're trying to train you in ways that are going to protect you from your own strong passions and desires that are coming one day. So learn to obey in the ways that they tell you now. Fifthly, esteem their preferences as those who depend on their care. In other words, you depend on them caring for you. So when they show you or teach you how they'd like things to be, maybe it's not chapter and verse in the Bible. Maybe it's not even a particular issue having to do with moral living. You know, it's not like right or wrong to put the toothpaste in this cabinet instead of that drawer, right? But they care for you, don't they? You don't have to buy your own food. You don't have to buy your own clothes. You don't have to provide your own health care. So if they prefer something to be that way in the home that God's given, learn to defer to their preferences. And what that does, because as you just think through the way that honor, what honor demands, how this command ought to flesh itself out, it's almost like everything included in this section to children intends to humble children so that they are real low and exalt those who've been given charge of them, right? To honor, to obey. I mean, this is just training children to be low. You're not the most important person in the room. What you think isn't that great or wise. You shouldn't trust yourself. You should just depend on and eagerly look to those who have authority over you. And your parents are those people. We looked at that group of wise sayings in Proverbs 30 that talks about there's a generation that. It's describing a group, I believe, raised up, you know, who takes on the values of the culture, and then you see how they turn out. You know, there's a generation that claims it's cleaned of its filth, and it's not. I mean, that's a description of the day we live in. People who are clean in their own eyes, and they are not at all washed of their filth. They're entitled, victims, fragile group of people, generation that we're in. What's the point that I'm getting at? If children learn to just be humble, receive instruction, honor those to whom honor is due, and not think so highly of themselves, that is going to make you a completely different breed of person. When you step out into the world on your own, somebody who works hard, isn't demanding, respectful to their employer, you're going to be the kind of man or woman that other people enjoy working with, that employers desire to hire, who's entrusted with responsibility at school, on the job, who's going to make a better spouse and a better citizen one day. I mean, just learn to this simple principle of honoring your parents, take it to heart, and you'll benefit beyond ways that you can even know currently. And then lastly, I have in mind, sixthly, esteem their needs above your own, just your parents. Listen, it's well understood that children are needy. That's okay. But you're not the only needy person in the world. Learn to think about the needs of others. Man, what does it take to make this house run? There's a lot to do. There are however many people, you know, lots of little people in all of our houses. They have needs. You should ask your parents, especially your older kids, is there anything you need today, Dad? Mom? Is there any way I can help? Is there any way I can be serving today or this week in our home? What do I need to be thinking about? What do you need so that I can lend a hand? And that's a responsible young man or woman who's asking that on their own. And then you can watch your parents' jaw hit the floor. And then parents, if your kids need ways to serve, ways to help, delegate. It's good to teach them responsibility in these things, and helpful to accomplish this in our kids. All of this, just at the thought level, now obviously it has, I'm giving practical implications, practical instructions for things for you to go do. But what I'm targeting is the fact that the reality that all of this is just if you esteem your parents in your own heart. If you just esteem your parents in your own heart and don't think so highly of yourself, and instead obey this command that's coming from the Lord, that honor is due from you to your parents, then this will have that effect. You guys get it? Okay. We're coming up on this promise and the rewards that go along with all of this. But we'll stop here and save that for next time. Okay. We'll actually move through the rest of the requirement even before we get to the rewards. But this will be good timing, as you have now weeks in between hearing these things to go practice them. Okay. And so we look forward to hearing the effect on you kiddos in the home. You know, who's going to be the first one to ask, how can I help? We'll see. Any thoughts or questions about anything we discussed tonight? I know we're just scratching the surface here, but anything we need to discuss or clarify before we wrap up? Yes. Me, my wife, and our three oldest are gonna go. Anyone else is welcome. Did you want to come?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, that's a conversation for your parents. But I think Aunt Emily may not mind. Other questions? If not, that's okay.
Do you have like practical methods that you've used for teaching like kids to honor you and Emily, and like different stepping stones of like added responsibilities towards, or like that they use like in showing honor? Does that make sense? Or maybe not really.
I'll give you an example. You can tell me if this is what you're thinking about, okay. But something simple like training them to respond a certain way to instruction, you know, right away. Yes, Mom. Yes, Dad. Yes, sir. No, sir. Whatever. But like teaching them, this is the expectation, this is how we want you to respond. And then if there's a sign that's not the case, stopping, try again, you know. So requiring it and then reinforcing it in that way. Is that kind of what you have in mind? Something like that?
I think so, yeah.
In another sense, the other thing that comes to mind, and you might be able to fill us out a little bit more, but something as simple as creating expectations for a routine. Hey, mom and dad can't spend the day cleaning up your room. You can actually do that. And so when you get up in the morning, all right, here's the routine. You can read in your bed once everybody's awake until a certain time or until we tell you. You can be done. A way that that shows honor for us is it allows us to get things done that we need to get done that we can't with managing kids during the day. Bible reading, work, whatever. And then here's what we expect, you know, a way for you to participate in stewarding the home is to tidy up your room. Here's what's required. So we got to teach you to fold your blankets, teach you how to make your bed, teach you how to put the bed away, you know. And so that took, you know, a little bit of training. And once we've shown you, now that's the expectation. And so we've done it with you. We've shown you. Sometimes that requires some reteaching. Nope, that's a sloppy way to fold the blanket. Let's go over it again. Here's the expectation. And so now, you know, we can just say, all right, it's time to get going, get ready for the day. Tidy your room and get ready for the day. And they know what that means. Get dressed, brush teeth, wash face, put pajamas away, whatever. So, I don't know if you'd add anything to that.
Maybe not right off the top of my head, but is that like what you mean by showing honor, or are you thinking about like an attitude? Like, are you thinking about doing things or like an attitude?
I think both.
Okay.
Yeah, just as the like, if your goal is, like, to, I don't know, I don't want to associate two things that don't really need to be associated, and like, when I say showing honor and then just, like, adding responsibilities, but at the point when I asked the question, I had a link between those two things in my mind.
Yeah.
And as I'm hearing, like, you talk it out, like, I see, like, I know there's, like, they need to show honor in the way that they do that and the way they obey, but...
Well, I mean, if you've entrusted responsibility to them, then it can be a demonstration of honor to actually carry out the duty, the task that you've given them, right?
Yeah.
As you kind of pass off responsibilities and those kinds of things. I mean, as I think about helping our home run smoother, and we've been talking about this, I think part of that is actually giving our kids more to do, you know, and entrusting more to them, teaching them how to do more so that it frees me and Emily up to do things that only we can do. And so we're not doing things that, oh, you could just as easily do that and free me up, but we probably just as parents need to be keeping an eye to pushing our kids along. If I had to guess, we probably require less just culturally than what our kids are capable of, you know. Our kids live a pretty cushy life from what they could live. You know, now if you have the more the Robinsons have. No?
The official one.
Nice.
What?
That'll be, when that comes out, that'll be like the punishment, you know. And I go, oh.
But I think part of like teaching them to do things is teaching the attitude that goes underneath, right? Like honoring, why is cleaning up your room honoring to your parents? You know, like, and so and making sure that the groundwork is like attitudinal and then the actions come out of that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're part of this home, you know, your parents aren't your servants, they don't have to do everything for you, or, you know, I don't know, whatever, like, the attitude is behind it, like, teaching the attitude, and then teaching the behaviors that come out of the attitude.
Yeah, yep, that's good. To do it begrudgingly, or angrily, resentfully, doesn't demonstrate honor, so you're right. Yep. Yep. Anything else? All right. We'll keep considering these things in the weeks to come. And so let me pray. Then we have one more thing we're going to do tonight. Let's pray. God, thank you for just such wise shepherding care, and so precise to aim your instructions at children and to do so in a way perfectly suited to their understanding, to their ability. God, I pray for these children here that you would rescue their young souls, that they would learn to fear you, love Jesus, to believe God, and to embrace the gospel, a crucified Savior on behalf of humble sinners, sinners willing to humble themselves and come to Jesus and take his yoke upon him, upon them, and learn from him, that is the only hope for salvation. And one day you will fulfill all your promises for men, women, and children alike who have followed in this way, so that they too would live long in the land and reign with Christ in the kingdom that is coming. So we pray this for our children and for ourselves, that you would teach us in a way that is perfect and good and useful for us. We ask all this for your glory, for your name's sake. Amen.